sure knows the name of Reggie White. Reggie was, of course, a defensive end for the Packers, but he was also an ordained minister. My sister even gave me one of his jerseys as the Minister of Defense. So. Before, though, I understand, before signing a deal with the Packers, White had said that he would pray to ask God where to play. And later it was reported that Coach Mike Holmgren confessed that he had left a message on White's answering machine that said, "Reggie, this is God. Go to Green Bay." Well, that's my way of introducing this Confirmation Sunday sermon, which is really about a prayer that Jesus did for his disciples at the end of his life. Confirmation Sunday can be challenging to make the lectionary reading appropriate for the Sunday that our young people are received into church membership. Well, not this year, thank goodness. Today's lesson from John's Gospel is perfect. And that's what I want to focus on for just a few moments, on this prayer that came from the lips of Jesus. Our lesson from John's Gospel is often referred to as the real Lord's Prayer. It's the one that Jesus prays for his friends, the disciples. You see, Jesus is about to depart from them. And he kind of reviews everything that he has taught them and answers all of their questions. There was only one more thing that he could do for them. He prayed for them. In their presence, Jesus prayed, thanking God for his friends and praying for their well-being. Jesus' prayer was startling and even breathtaking. Having learned so much from Jesus as they traveled with him for the better part of 3 years, maybe what stuck with the disciples most was how he prayed. At one point, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray like he did. And you'll remember that Jesus taught them that model prayer, that one that we've all learned and know as the Lord's Prayer. But on that day before his crucifixion, Christ prayed for his friends. It's always reassuring when we're going through difficult times to know that someone's praying for us. There's great power in prayer. Do you pray for your friends? My guess is that most of us pray for our families. And certainly when a friend is going through a crisis, we pray. But what a difference it might make in our relationships if on a continuing basis we offered up the names of our friends in prayer. I think we forget sometimes how powerful a simple prayer can be. Do you pray for your friends? Jesus did. And you know what? In the same way that Jesus prayed for the disciples, Christ's Spirit prays for us even now. And especially you confirmands beginning your journey of faith in the adult world. Christ's Spirit prays for us in times of confusion when we're unsure of what to do next. In all these instances, it's a great comfort to know that there are others praying for us. Jesus prayed for the disciples, but how did he pray? What did he ask for? Jesus prayed that God would help his friends remain strong. That's always an appropriate prayer, the prayer for strength. Jesus knew that the cost of being one of his followers in those early days would be high. He knew that there would be times when his disciples' lives would be in danger. He knew there would be times when they would be tempted to just run away. Now, notice here that Jesus didn't pray that they would be released from all these problems. Instead, he prayed for them to be strong. Jesus didn't pray for escape, but for victory of the soul. He prayed, "I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. Some of you may remember the name Terry Anderson, who is no stranger to difficult times. Terry was held hostage longer than anyone else in Beirut for 7 long years. Not everyone would have been able to survive what Terry did. Day after day, week after week, year after year. And Terry would be the first to tell you that he survived that experience because of prayer. It was about a month after they were captured that Terry and the other hostages were given access to Bibles. With nothing else to occupy his time, Terry read and reread the entire Bible. And he was particularly drawn to the Apostle Paul. For Paul struggled with his weakness and his pride, just as Terry did. And through Paul's struggles, Terry drew closer to Christ and was able to express his love of God. He was also given another book while he was being held hostage. It was a book on prayer, but it wasn't as helpful. The author claimed in this book that prayer is always answered, but Terry wasn't sure. He said, "I'm not sure anymore that it's even right to ask for anything except patience and strength to endure whatever comes and help and understanding." Terry's experience was extreme, of course, but he speaks as one with authority. The one prayer that God always answers is a prayer for the strength to endure. Jesus prayed for his disciples so that they would find that needed strength during their times of suffering. That was a prayer that was answered time and time again. It's a prayer that some of us have prayed as well. God is faithful and will not forget us in our time of need. Jesus prayed for his friends. He prayed they'd be strong, but he also prayed that they would be united. "Protect them in your name that you have given me," he prayed, "so that they may be one as we are one." That's an important message for us. You see, if you look around, we're not simply a collection of individuals. We're the body of Christ. And it's so vitally important that we in the church pull together, that we are united. Charles Jefferson once described the difference between an audience and a church. He said, "An audience is a crowd. A church is a family. An audience is a gathering. A church is a fellowship. An audience is a collection. A church is an organism. An audience is a heap of stones. A church is a temple." And he concludes, "Preachers are ordained not to attract an audience, but to build the church." I hope that everyone in this room understands that critical difference. If the Lions Club or the Kiwanis Club is torn with dissension, that's a shame. But when the Church of Jesus Christ is in turmoil, it's a tragedy. Christ depends on us. Too many things can disrupt the unity of a church. People get upset with the decisions of a board, or people get upset with the minister. And Jesus knew that it's not easy to maintain unity among a talented yet sometimes cantankerous group of people. He also knew, however, that we can never accomplish the things that he's called us to do if we don't pull together. Jesus is still praying for us. He's asking God for two things on our behalf. First of all, he's asking that we shall be one and strong. I don't know about you, but that's a prayer I need every day. We need to be united. And that's one prayer we could help answer. We could start by praying for our friends, by praying for these 10 young people. We can also pray for our church, knowing that with their leadership and participation, the church will survive and be strong. And that we shall always, always love one another. Amen.